he start off, he'll have a look at your foundation, and then he get your big, kind of ugly stains into the bottom for fund stains, keeping the fund a wee bit wider than the shank of the dike is going to be. The shank is the dike up to the copse. And then he start off with your doubles and hirting. The doubles are the yins he put on along the outside of the dike, he say, or teed into the middle of the dike, as he say. Uh-huh. And then your hirting or parking is what he fill the middle with. Or the kind of rubbishy, rundish stains he put into the middle to fill it up. And then halfway up, in this case, halfway up, at the top of the first course, as we talk about, we put in throw bonds or ties. Uh-huh. That come right through the dike. The idea for them is to hard the dike together.
But you have to choose, you have to wheel the stains guy quickly.
You have to wheel your stains. You lay out your dike before you start. You say, there's all the copse flung to the outside, the top stains, and throw bonds flung to the outside. Now, we're sodding this dike as per instructions, putting a turf sod on.
Aye.
That's what they want here. But it's a short-term policy. I mean, the sod only lasts about 25 years, maybe. A good sod lasts about 25 years, and yet they expect the dike to stand indefinitely. In fact, it should stand forever. What lets a dike do very often is what's underneath. Rabbits did an awful to a dike long ago, digging holes underneath. But there are no the rabbits now, we say. Myxomatosis finished that. Then the hill cow subsidy did a lot of hill. The dikes weren't high enough to keep the cows off the top of them, and with a cow subsidy, everybody put on cow.
Aye.
They did a lot of ale to dikes, and now worse still, as they damned foreign bulls have fetched in, the big Charlies and limousines or whatever you call them.
They don't care who to treat a Scottish dike.
They're far out big. A little Galloway or an Angus or even a Shorthorn wasn't so bad, but they foreign bulls, whatever fetched they into the country for, I'll never know. I hope so, but I hae my doots. He say it's being crowded out. Peart snobbery, peart hard to say. But, I mean, even at the school, the teachers tried to make us ashamed of our mother tongue. They did that. And then, of course, after Scotland was subdued by the English long ago, the landed gentry, who up to that time had all spoken braid Scotch, sent their sons down south of the border to get an English education. Just currying favour, I suppose, to Auchinbach speaking so-called King's English. And they kind of became ashamed of their native tongue, I think. In fact, I think nowadays the Scottish tongue, it's just the working classes that speak it.
Aye. And do you notice that still prevailing the day in the border area, in this area here? Is there a lot of distinction between, say, one person speaks English, another speaks Scotch or what?
Oh, tremendous. Oh, tremendous, aye. You have the so-called county society. They all speak as near Oxford English as they can. And some of them expect you to speak Oxford English when you speak to them, or as near as he can. But he never did, of course. if they didn't understand braid Scotch, that's their misfortune, I would say.
And would you say you were exceptional with that attitude, or is that the attitude of most folk, that they speak Scotch in the borders?
Oh, I think it's the attitude of most folk. Oh, I think so.